Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
You know, here I am just trying to do my best. Finally, Bulldog takes a day off so I can complain. I'm trying to do my best. You know, I don't see him making mock schedules. He's not putting his neck out there. I am. Here it is. Like, I made a mock schedule. And he's like, oh, they'll never play Tampa on Christmas. Like, I don't know if they'll play Tampa on Christmas. There are teams on their schedule, I think, that are maybe too good for Christmas. And he's like, he seems to have heard something about that the teams who played on Christmas last year won't this year. That's the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Texans. They're all on the Bills' schedule. There goes four games. What do you want, the Jets? I don't know. Maybe it'll be the Jets. Sal Capaccio, I know I can count on Sal to buddy up here when it comes to schedule stuff. I don't know, Sal. Is Tampa Bay at Buffalo not pretty cool? Pretty interesting? There's no history that's important, but still.
No, I do agree with that, right? I mean, like, it's pretty cool. You got Baker Mayfield. You got Josh Allen. You know, they're a team that was in the playoffs last year, for sure. You don't get them here a lot, but they were just here a couple of years ago. I think Tampa's a sneaky team for some bigger game here in Buffalo. You know what I mean? I don't think it has to be a Sunday at 1, I guess the way I would say it. But how about, you're saying like the Bulldog has like schedule inside information here? Is that what you're saying?
No, not exactly. He thought that he'd heard, because we talked about how the Chiefs, it was reported that the Chiefs wanted to kind of own Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he thought he'd heard that the league said no to that. That there'd be different teams every year. Like, you know, international games are kind of like that, mostly. So I'm not sure it's, like, official, but that's what he seemed to think was the case.
The Chiefs have been on Christmas 2 years in a row now, though. So, I mean,
Black Friday? That was Christmas Day, wasn't it? You're right, the Raiders. Yeah. The Raider game was on Christmas, you're right.
Yeah, so I don't mean, unless they change the rule and said they're going to start doing that now, that hasn't been the case the last 2 years. They have been on Christmas the last 2 years, so I don't think that's a rule. And like, we talked extensively about this kind of stuff with Mike North on the podcast, and I didn't get that sense at all.
Okay.
I mean, he didn't say that it wasn't possible, they wouldn't do it or anything like that, but there was no indication that they would just pivot from different teams.
And we talked a little bit as well about how the Hallmark movie thing might be relevant to the equation. So Bill's at home hoping for some snow globe snow, promote the movie, right? That's
100%. I think there's a really solid chance the Bills are playing at home on Christmas in some capacity, probably at night in that case, what you're saying, snow globe, Christmas, Hallmark movie. It's just, you know, just it all fits. I don't know. I mean, who knows how it's going to actually turn out. I still think it's kind of odd that the schedule kind of has to be done here without knowing about Aaron Rodgers, right, and what his situation is, because I do think that would impact. Now, the Steelers are a national brand anyway. They're going to get primetime games anyway. But aren't they even more so in the spotlight of Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback versus, you know, someone else and whoever's on the roster now, I guess?
Yeah, probably. So we have to wait on him again. That's become kind of par for the course. Okay, so today is the 2nd of May. the big schedule announcement, the unveiling, is May 14th, which is a week from Wednesday. What do we get between now and then? Like the morning of, the networks will each maybe announce a game of theirs. International games prior to that, what do you expect?
Yeah, schedule-wise, what we're going to get is probably something like that. I remember a couple of years ago, I was literally like at the gym in the morning, I'm on the treadmill, and bam, all of a sudden it was announced the Bills would play the Tennessee Titans week two as part of a Monday night doubleheader, right? I mean, like those things start to come out because what happens is the week of the schedule, and this makes sense, I would look for this again, that you'll have some of the national morning shows, the CBS morning show, ABC, NBC, all the ones, whatever they're called, Today and Good Morning America, I guess, all that kind of stuff. Like they'll have some sort of programming built in and designed around the NFL and releasing what they're going to be having to promote on their network, right? So that's what happened a couple years ago. And ABC, like Good Morning America, all right, we're going to be having the Bills and Titans, ESPN, ABC, like week two. So something like that should happen again in some capacity. That's what I would expect. As far as the international games, it is interesting that years ago we'd know all of the international games, the home away and the home opponents and the home teams and the opponents by like December and January of the previous year. We don't get that anymore. So, but I wouldn't be stunned if we start to get it between now and May 14th, though, and before the actual schedule comes out.
Mm-hmm. Anytime you're ready, they're ready. I'm happy to know, like dribs and drabs, Sal, just sprinkle in a couple of announcements here and there. That'd be good for me. This might not matter ultimately because there's 32 teams. I know all that. But when you think about the stadium in its last year, what might be most significant, more significant than the other, opening at home, closing at home? With the playoffs, you know, being such a normal expectation for the Bills, I wonder if that would mean anything too.
I do too. According to Mike, we asked them this specifically. They wouldn't, I kind of got the feeling that playing a regular season game at home and closing out a stadium isn't kind of on their radar to make sure they do anything special from a schedule wise, right? From a team wise. And that's because I think a lot of it is what you just said, Mike. They've been going to the playoffs and you kind of can't predict that because if you do it and then it's not the last game, what does it really matter? I don't even know if, in fact, I'll go this far. I don't think the league actually cares that much about the last year of the stadium like the Bills do, right? Like as far as scheduling, it's much more for them the first year of the new stadium. Like that was made clear. Like 2026, opening a new stadium is much more relevant to the league than closing another stadium. Now, that being said, maybe I mischaracterized what I just said a second ago. They'll be thoughtful about it, but it's not nearly as important to them as how they want to introduce a new stadium.
All right, so getting more close to the present here, of course, the draft was last weekend, and we've talked about it many times between then and now, but as we are a week away here, all the Brandon Bean business from Monday and just everything sort of sinking in about this draft, how does it look? I mean, of course, they went hard on defense, and that was, you know, obviously hotly debated. I feel like it makes sense. Do you feel like, you know, and any sort of longer view takeaways from last weekend?
You know, that I think that the longer view is they've kind of rebuilt the defense from an age standpoint as well, right? I mean, it's not just that they've kind of had to get more talent, an infusion of talent. I think they've kind of overhauled what they've done looking forward. You have several guys on defense entering the final year of their contract. You do have a couple guys on offense. Obviously, James Cook is notable. Connor McGovern is one of them, David Edwards. I think you feel really good about where their offensive line, though, is. You can extend those guys. I mean, maybe at some point McGovern gets extended. He's done a nice job, but you got guys waiting in the wings. You got Alec Anderson. You got a couple other guys, you know, on the roster that are Cedric Van Pran Granger, right? I think they feel really comfortable where they've put that. James Cook is definitely a kind of a different bucket on how we talk about that and we have. On defense, it's A.J. Epinesa in his last year, Daquan Jones in his last year, Matt Milano in his last year. You know, these are guys that they're going to have to think about replacing down the road and making sure that they kind of have the right people in place beyond this year. And I think that was kind of really stood out to me a little bit more in the draft, even as much as just getting new talent that can come in and play. And I think that goes hand in hand with Christian Benford's extension, Terrell Bernard's extension, Greg Rousseau's extension. This is the new core. They're the core, and they're bringing in this infusion of youth that they're all going to be here now for the next 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Also, from this week, again, back to Bean and how the week started Monday morning, then he does the afternoon show, he does Pat McAfee ultimately, and really was Tyler Dunn at length, really was out there this week. Maybe this, I'm not saying that this is necessarily a thing. I just wonder if you have thought about or maybe would have noticed that he is putting himself out there more. I mean, Bean has never at all been invisible or anything like that, but I wonder if we're maybe at a new phase with him in some way.
I've thought about it more. I'm going to be really honest with you. I think that maybe because of what happened, we're thinking a little bit too much in that regard, and maybe Ivan and I have. Like, is that true? Because honestly, like, he's done a lot of this stuff, especially around this time of year. Mm-hmm. If you go back the last few years, he's been on McAfee a lot, and he's done a lot of these kinds of, you know, these interviews and gone on different platforms, whether it's local or national. I remember a couple of years ago him going on Jim Rome right around this time of year. Because I remember him, that's when he said, hey, you know, I could make a move that could, you know, really be one big move for us, but that might really put us at a disadvantage years from now, and I want to be a contender. I remember him saying that. It was right around this time of year. It was early, you know, this offseason, this part, maybe up into June or something like that. He has always been visible. You're right. Maybe he's doing a little bit more just by kind of numbers. He goes on Eric Wood's podcast quite a bit. He's done that already recently. So I don't know if – I haven't necessarily run it and looked at, well, what did he do last year? Because I do think that, you know, this has been something he's been doing, and maybe we just notice more because of what happened Monday and then kind of really – going on and being more visible since then.
Mm-hmm. Rookie mini camp next weekend, correct? May 9th?
Yep. Well, May 9th is the media portion. They'll be in town, I think, the 9th and the 10th. The rookies will be on the field the 9th and the 10th. We, I think, will only get media to see them and talk to them on Friday the 9th.
Okay. How do they schedule that? Some teams are this weekend. Is it maybe teams with new coaches? Don't they get an extra week? I wonder how do they go about deciding like the time between the draft and when they want to start?
So the rule is by the NFL, you can choose either the first weekend after the draft or the second weekend after the draft. If I remember correctly, the Bills have almost always been the second weekend. Maybe there's been a first weekend in there. I don't know other than maybe just how their preference would be, and maybe they just want to get more OTAs in or whatever, however the veterans are doing. But it's always kind of been like that. And, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, the Bills choose to do that. Now, I think this year, a lot of times they've had the rookie premiere going on in LA for some of these guys. And that's where they do some of those pictures and cards. Maybe the Bills don't want to interfere with that. I'm not really sure. I don't think there's no like rule about new head coach or no new head coach like there is with the start of workouts. It's literally, you get to choose. You want the first weekend or the second weekend in May when you want to do this.
So this next Friday, next weekend, will be interesting for those defensive players, the big load up from Hairston to the, you know, the two defensive tackles, a couple of DBs in there as well. It'd be interesting to sort of take a first look at everybody, I suppose. I was preparing to talk to you and to Tyler later, reading Bean with Tyler Dunn, and had the quote about, you know, it was a spinoff with the wide receiver sort of controversy, if you will, but getting Mahomes, Burrow, and Jackson on the ground in the playoffs was his kind of like bottom line. And so I looked up some of the numbers on this, quarterbacks and sacks in the playoffs. Mahomes has been sacked far and away the most of any quarterback since 2018 in the playoffs. No surprise, because he's also had far and away the most games. 46 sacks in 21 games. But Sal, in four games against the Bills of those 21, it is 5 sacks for 20 yards in those four games combined. So I can certainly appreciate, say what you want about other needs, certainly appreciate this point. Of course, in the Super Bowl, the Eagles sacked him more often than the Bills have ever done in all those playoff games combined. As it happens, he named the 3 most sacked playoff quarterbacks since 2018, probably not a coincidence, and they're all in the AFC. Mahomes, Burrow, Jackson, Allen is 4th. And so, I mean, that's a clear objective here. It's going to be a long time, though, before we know whether they can do it.
Yeah, I wonder if, like, he knew that stat and that's why. Or if it's just...
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
He's naming the best quarterbacks, right? I mean, like, that's just kind of what you do. The guys that have been in AFC Championship games recently, and Mahomes and Burrow and Lamar Jackson. Those are the three, right, Mike? Did he mention those three?
Yeah.
I mean, I just, if I was doing that, if I was just rattling off, well, you know what? You really got to get to blank, blank, blank. I'd probably use those three quarterbacks, to be quite honest with you, without knowing any numbers. Because those are the three quarterbacks, I think, that are considered, with Josh Allen, the top four quarterbacks in the AFC. You might put Justin Herbert in there, but they haven't been in that position. So the only teams that have really been there, I mean, C.J. Stroud, I guess, right? But that's it. It's really been those four quarterbacks. So I get why he might actually, you know, use that as a reference point for those. Look, we all know the Bills have failed to do that, and that has been the talking point. I think the question is why? Because they've had good moments getting to the quarterback. They haven't been great at it. They haven't had these number one and two guys that have been amazing at sacks over the last few years and all that kind of stuff. They've been okay at it at times, but we all know they've kind of failed in the most critical games and moments of getting to the quarterback. The question is why? Some people will tell you it's because of coaching and scheme and, you know, they because of what they do there. Some people will tell you they don't have the right personnel. Maybe some people will tell you it's a mix of both. I don't know, but that's always been the talk of what's happened in the playoffs. That's where Sean McDermott gets so much criticism from so many people, obviously Bills fans and media, of what they have and haven't done, you know, over the last several years and why they haven't been there. So I don't know the answer to that question. And I think that anybody who tries to answer that question is just kind of where your opinion is, where it falls. I think at the end of the day, the Bills have told you what they think, though. They need new talent there. They need more talent there. They went out and signed Joey Bosa. No more Von Miller, I know. They went out and signed Joey Bosa. They went out and signed Michael Hoyt. They went out and drafted Landon Jackson. They drafted two defensive tackles. They signed another defensive tackle in free agency. I think the Bills, by their own actions, have told you what they think about the reason.
Yeah, you want to get to a point where a team like the Chiefs is almost forced into sacrificing, you know, a blocking back or an extra tight end, keep them in the, you know, out from running routes, keep them in the pocket or whatever to try to offset what you're doing there. But a long way to go, and then, you know, we'll get to the playoffs, and these teams will all have played each other, Chiefs, Bengals, Bills, Ravens, all on the Bills' home schedule. So it'll be a rematch if they get to the playoffs against any of those guys. Hey, sure, those are the three quarterbacks you named. They're certainly the three quarterbacks the Bills GM could name. I mean, they've played seven playoff games against those three teams combined. But interesting to see how relatively little success the Bills have had with Mahomes in particular versus his career in the playoffs overall. You know, I mean, it's...
Yeah, that's an issue, right? That's a problem, and that's what you look at. You go, wait a minute. Why were these other teams able to do it? Why were the Texans able to do it? Why were the Bengals able to do it? How come the Bills haven't? Why were the Eagles able to do it? How come the Buccaneers? I mean, you look at the ones, the teams, I mean, they haven't lost all these games, but, you know, they were in tussles, and the ones they weren't. And that's been part of the reason that they haven't been able to protect him. And what was the Chiefs failing last year mostly? Offensive line. They couldn't protect their quarterback. And when it came time, the Bills couldn't get to him, like a lot of teams did. And that's kind of what's happened here. And I think that's why we are where we are and why the GM says what he says.
Allen sacked 28 times in 13 postseason games. Special hat tip to Sam Darnold for being sacked 9 times in 1.
Oh.
Last year against the Rams. If you don't mind, it's a little bit out of left field, but another schedule thought I had for you was I'm preparing for literally 11 rookie fantasy drafts that start tomorrow. And so thinking a lot about the rookies, and Travis Hunter is maybe the biggest star of them all. What do you think Jacksonville – how do you think Jacksonville might rate in terms of prime time?
Ooh, in terms of prime time, I have to look back and see what they got last year. They were in Buffalo last year for one.
Yes. Might have been it.
Yeah, I still don't think they're going to get a ton. They're going to, because they're already going to get two international games, right?
Okay.
And you're probably looking at one more primetime game, maybe two, because as much as they have some talent and Travis Hunter certainly moves the needle, I think the league is already kind of showcasing them in a different way a little bit, and that's, you know, that can be enough. So I don't think they're quite at the level where, okay, on top of all these international games are playing, we got to kind of put them in all these windows to make sure the country sees them.
Hunter is the reason I ask, just because he's so different. I looked at it was the first round, and you might have been with us when we talked about this last Friday, but all the skill position guys who went in round one, it might have been like, I don't know, 10 or 12, including quarterbacks. The only ones who are on the Bills schedule are the two NFC South guys, Tet McMillan for Carolina and Ibuka for Tampa. All the other running back, receiver, tight end, quarterback rookies picked in round one, the Bills don't see.
Last year they saw Marvin Harrison Jr. week one.
Yep.
That was interesting, right? The Bills have quarterbacks, tough quarterbacks on their schedule. But you're right. I mean, when it comes to really kind of hot rookie talent, offensively, not as much to say as far as the schedule is concerned.
I guess they might get Tyler Shugg, Sal.
Yeah, they could, I guess. You're right about that. And I'm wondering, I mean, honestly, who's the quarterback when the Bills play the Browns? We don't know what week that is yet, but I don't know who the quarterback is week one. Yeah. I had John Scott on from Channel 2. He has grown up, you know, watching the Cleveland Browns. He's a Cleveland Browns fan grown up, so he still follows them. And I said, who's their starting quarterback week one? He said he believes it's Joe Flacco. Well, then I had Jonathan Peterlin, on, who is your counterpart at the Fan of Cleveland. He's on the air right now. He's their afternoon show host. I asked him the same question. Who is their starting quarterback week one? And he said either Shedeur Sanders or Kenny Pickett. So I think this is fascinating.
Yeah. I did want to ask you about them. We don't have much time left, but how would you play it? Or, like, if you had the autonomy, maybe ownership is in your hair there.
Yeah.
But how would you play it? Or maybe if you like this question more, what chance do you have of whatever you would consider success with the Browns and the quarterback juggling? I think, by the way, as you think of that, the Browns and the Steelers both, you could end up with, if you play them right away, it's one answer to that question. And if you play them in December, it's someone else, especially Cleveland.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I think, Mike, the first question I have to ask myself, my staff, my organization is, what is our goal this year? Are we trying to win this year? Are we trying to make the playoffs? Are we trying to make sure we're at a good spot that we can kind of build something here? Because that has to be asked. I'm not talking about tanking. I'm talking about just kind of where we are. Are we trying to actively win? If that is the case, you have to start Joe Flacco. He is the quarterback in that roster that actually gives them the best chance to win right away, I believe. He's a veteran. Now, you could say he's not that good. I get it. But compared to the other guys on the team, I still think he gives them the best chance to win right away. But I think that if you're the Cleveland Browns, you look at that division, you look at where you are, I actually works out in their favor in this regard, which is there's not as much pressure now to play him early. There's not as much pressure on for him to play early. And I think that you can let him develop a little bit. So you don't have to put him in right away. So, hey, whoever that is, if that winds up being Flacco or Kenny Pickett, if you decide that you don't have to win this year, then I don't know why you have Joe Flacco on the team. Let Kenny Pickett play if that's the case. I don't know about Dylan Gabriel. It's got to be Shedeur Sanders over Dylan Gabriel at the end of the day, even though they draft him higher, I would think. So I think if your answer is we need to try and win, you got to start Joe Flacco. And if the answer is, I think we're okay, look what we're doing here, let's build it, then I think it's got to be either Pickett or Sanders. Let them battle it out, and you're okay if Shedeur Sanders doesn't start right away.
And I think most coaches would play it down the middle, which is start a veteran, is what usually happens, and then move to a rookie once, you know, you're kind of drawing dead. Would be a great camp to cover, wouldn't it? Cleveland this year with Sanders there, and just be a lot of drama. All right, Sal, thanks for today. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Sal Capaccio on the Westfair Hotline, brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor, your place to buy a case. What is your outlet? Flacco is 40. I've had some reason for thinking that I'm going to go to his Pro Football Reference page and see, like, he's actually 33 or something like that, way younger than you think, but no, that wouldn't make sense. He was in the league. He started 16 games as a rookie in 2008. So if he's 33, he would have been, what, 16 doing that? 17? That definitely did not happen. The NFL wouldn't even allow that. He started 16 games in a season back at, if has the show ever sounded older, 16-game schedule, each of his first 7 games in the league, never had a losing record, QB wins. He missed time in 15, came right back to full start, 16 and 17, then Lamar Jackson showed up. And since then, he's been on Broncos, Jets, Browns, Colts, now back to the Browns. How would you play that in Cleveland? Any rookie questions? I don't know if Sal is in any dynasty leagues where you'd have your rookie drafts getting started. I don't think he is. Something else I thought I might ask him, didn't get to it. 803-0550 for your calls. 5 o'clock, Tyler Dunn. 5:30, Dave Buchanan. Bulldog is off today. This is Mike Schoep on WGR.